are welcome to our service on this second Sunday before Advent, which follows the order of Holy Communion, beginning with the opening greeting on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
Almighty God,
to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, your blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life. Grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory,
we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, beginning at verse 17. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn number 127, Hark, What a Sound, and Too Divine for Hearing.
Thank you.
Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 5. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned and beautiful with stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues, prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defenses in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to Lord Jesus.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from today's Gospel reading. St. Luke chapter 21, verse 9. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. What do Jesus' words have to say to those who hear them today? Sitting with his disciples outside the temple in Jerusalem, he gives them advice about how they are to deal with the difficult times that would lie ahead. The warnings to his disciples are warnings to which people should listen. Jesus warns his disciples that people will come claiming to speak for him. "Beware that you are not led astray," he says to them in St. Luke chapter 21, verse 8. "Do not go after them." How often in history have people been led into wars by those who have claimed to speak for God? In our own times, both Israel and Hamas claim to be serving God. Last Tuesday, of course, it was the 11th of November, Armistice Day, the end of what was called the Great War. The Great War of 1914 to 1918 was fought by nations who all believed God was on their side
in the Great War, the German army had Gott mit uns, God with us, engraved on their helmets. And in the Second World War, it was engraved on their belt buckles. The German leaders as much believed God was with them as the Allied leaders believed he was on their side. History filled with leaders claiming to have God's sanction for their decisions. Jesus would have warned those who followed him against being led astray by those who claimed to be starting wars on behalf of God. He would have told people not to go after those who advocated aggression as a response to international problems. Had Jesus been talking to his disciples in the 21st century rather than in the first century, who might he have criticized for claiming to speak in his name? Who might he have condemned for causing the loss of innocent lives? It cannot have been easy for the disciples, listening to the warnings of what would lie ahead for them: arrest, persecution, interrogation. But Jesus sees this experience as offering something positive. This will give you an opportunity to testify, he tells them in verse 13. Jesus is unambiguous. Christians should be prepared to speak for their faith against the rulers and authorities of this world. Times of crisis offer such chances. How would Jesus regard the testimony of Christians today? Have Christians been prepared to speak for Jesus' way of things in times of conflict, even if that means standing against the people all around them? Have Christians been prepared to testify to a faith in Jesus that is about reconciliation and including the foreigner and the outcast? Or has it been easier to remain silent as fear and hatred have been stirred up? When an opportunity to testify occurs, what is the reaction of most Christian people? Jesus warns his disciples not to plan what they will say, telling them in verse 14, "So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance." He tells them he will give them the words they say. If they depend upon him for what they say, then they will not be swayed by their own prejudices or the opinions of the people around them. The disciples might have felt doubtful at such advice. How willing are Christians now to rely on God's guidance for what to say? Times of tension, times of conflict, times of war are difficult times in which to speak. It is much easier to retreat into the forms of words that really might not say very much. There is a need to listen to what is being said by those around and then respond to what they have said. It means being open to the working of God's Holy Spirit and speaking words that are filled with God's grace. Christian speaking without sensitivity, without being prepared to listen to the hurt felt by the wider community, do more damage than those who do not speak at all. And finally, in verse 19, Jesus warns his friends, "By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Jesus is not offering endurance as an option. as something that might be chosen by the more enthusiastic among the disciples. He is saying that this is the way they will keep their souls. The disciples were accustomed to different religious groups dismantling different levels of commitment. One could be extremely committed or much more half-hearted and still be counted among the faithful. But Jesus is offering the disciples only one standard of commitment, that of endurance. Having hastened to all he had told them, it would not have been easy to accept that salvation demanded endurance. Among Christians 20 centuries later, Jesus still looks for the endurance he asked from his disciples. Christians now will not face the physical trials faced by the disciples, but those who seek the ways of peace and reconciliation, those who seek the ways of Jesus, can expect words of cynicism, words of opposition, words of condemnation. Speaking the truth is not popular when that truth runs against the stories being carried by the media. Christians can find themselves mocked and vilified by the very people who would claim they are defending Christian traditions. Is there a preparedness to endure and so gain one soul? When you hear of wars and insurrection, do not be terrified, says Jesus to those listening today. Christians are not to be led astray, but they are to testify. Christians are not to prepare their words, but they will endure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Page 205, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the body and life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
Let us pray to God for protection and guidance in all dangers and perplexities. O Lord God, grant to your church stability and peace, that she may faithfully guard the treasure of this present time, yet always remember that at the last, the things of this world will pass away. Within the Anglican Communion, we pray for Serla, Archbishop Designate of Canterbury, and in particular today for the Anglican province of Alexandria in North Africa. We remember too our own diocese, led by our Bishop David, and for our linked diocese of Maridi, as we pray for its teaching and mission. We pray for those who guide us in our own parish churches. Keep all Christian people strong in faith and never weary in doing good. Lord, in your mercy. Into a world where many exploit the labors of others, we pray you, God, to bring a new spirit of cooperation and mutual respect. We continue to pray for Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, Sudan, and Myanmar, and that world leaders will seek to follow a path of peace and justice, seeking to provide security and reduce poverty for their people. May there be less concern for material riches and a vision of your greater purpose for all. We pray for the victims of natural disaster, for all affected by the typhoon in the Philippines and recently in the Caribbean as a result of Hurricane Melissa. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, bless us in our families with shared love and loyalty at all times. Give us patience and wisdom in meeting neighbors and colleagues who might be hostile towards us, and make us more considerate of others and more appreciative of those who work for the good of this community. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all in positions of responsibility in both church and state. Pray for Charles, our King, the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, the Secretary of State, Hilary Benn, and the government, the First Minister, Deputy First Minister, and Executive. And President Catherine Connolly, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, Taoiseach, and government in the Republic. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all in our community who are suffering in mind, body, or spirit at this time, that they may find comfort in your holy word. And in hospital, we particularly pray for Les Clark and David Keith. And we remember those in our parish and community who have recently died, and in particular, Ruth Carlyle. Grant them peace and a new life in your kingdom, where there is no more pain or suffering. Lord, in your mercy, trusting in the mighty power of God revealed in Christ, we offer our prayers through him. As we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume. Come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that he may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The offertory hymn number 10, All My Hope on God Is Founded.
Thank you. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate
the feast. Let us pray. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we were turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen.
The bread which we break
is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Blood of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Of Christ to keep you in eternal life. God bless you and keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. Keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. The body of Christ, keep you in eternal life.
gracious Lord, in this holy sacrament, you give substance to our hope. Bring us at the last to that pure life for which we long, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Almighty God,
we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. On Wednesday, in the morning at 11 o'clock, there will be a meeting of the Wednesday Club. The speaker on this occasion will be Richard Graham from the History Hub of Ulster, speaking on merchant families of Belfast. This should be a genuinely interesting meeting, something we can all learn from, apart from enjoying the fellowship over tea and coffee. That's Wednesday coming at 11 o'clock. The bowling club will meet in the parochial hall on Wednesday evening at 8. Thursday, choir practice here in church at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the Sunday before Advent, and the Feast of Christ the King, at 10 o'clock, morning prayer and holy baptism. The food bank are requesting donations of bottles of Schlur and small selection boxes, which will be placed in hampers for needy families. And it would be greatly appreciated if donations of these items could be left here in church up to and including Sunday, the 23rd of November. Our Christmas fair, of course, takes place on the last Friday of this month, Friday the 28th, from 7 to 9 p.m. in the parochial hall. There is a flyer in circulation with details of stalls and other information. If you haven't yet had one, do pick one up from the table at the back of the church. Donations of items for home baking, books and Christmas toys, a tombola stall, and general Christmas items that will sell. These may be left in the hall on the night before, Thursday the 27th from 7 to 8, or on Friday, the day of the fair, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Holly wreaths will be available to purchase, but they would need to be ordered. There is a sheet on the table at the end of the church. If you would place your order with your name and the number of wreaths you would like on that sheet, that will be very helpful indeed. This day fortnight, Sunday the 30th of November, there will be at 10 o'clock an Advent carol service.
not to be confused with our Christmas service, which comes later. This is an Advent carol service of readings and music appropriate to the season of Advent. It will also be a gift day, as I mentioned last week. Our bishop has requested all churches in the diocese to hold a gift day for our fellow church members in our linked diocese of Maridi in Sudan. Their spiritual life center, if you like, is being forcibly shut down. They're being evicted. The government have decided to build a new road in sight, so they're taking over the land, demolishing the building without any compensation. So Maridi are really dependent on us, and indeed others, but particularly us, as we're the linked diocese, to raise the money to build a new centre elsewhere, which will amount to some £40,000. Big sum for us, an absolute fortune in a place like Sudan. So I hope on Sunday week at that Advent carol service you will give as generously as you possibly can. And then looking ahead to December, our traditional festival of nine lessons and carols, led by our own United Choir and the primary school choir, will take place on Sunday, the 14th of December, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there will be a nativity service on the Sunday before Christmas. That's Sunday, the 21st of December, at 10 o'clock, with the Bailey's Mills Accordion Band taking part. The recessional hymn 436, "Now Let Us From This Table Rise." Peace, to love and serve the Lord.